Living rooms, bedrooms, dinettes. Oh yeah, you can find them at the market. We talking about flea market, Montgomery. It's just like a mini mall. Oh yeah, come shop with us. I said flea market, Montgomery. It's just like a mini mall. Hey, hey, you heard me. Come shop. Living rooms, bedrooms, dinettes. We got it. You need it. You'll find it. It's just like a mini mall. Hey, hey, you heard me. Come shop. I said flea market, Montgomery. It's just like a mini mall. Hey, hey. Living rooms, bedrooms, dinettes. Oh, yeah. You can find them at the market. We talking about flea market, Montgomery. It's just like a mini mall. Hey, hey, don't stop. Let's make it a dance. Come on now, to the left, to the right. Let's do this dance. Hey, to the left, to the right. Let's make this a dance. Flea market, Montgomery. It keeps you jumping. It's just like a mini mall. Check it out now, everybody, like this now. Hey, hey, flea market, Montgomery. It's just like a mini mall. Don't stop, let's dance. Flea market, Montgomery. It's just like a mini mall.
Let's bring it on down now. Oh, yeah, I know you're gonna like this. Come on now.
It's just like,
you know what to say.
It's just like,
you know what I mean.
It's just like,
you know it. So why don't you just come on and say it.
It's just like a mini mall.
Yeah, you said it. It's just like a mini mall. Oh, yeah, you like this. Come on now, flea market.
Wow. Look, in the words of what five people put under any comment section, regardless of how big it is, 1,299 people don't like mini malls, but 64,000 people. That's how many people went out of their way to like that. And good on them.
I know.
That needs to be spread. That song is far better than anything that the charts have produced in the last 10 years.
Yes. Oh, God. It really goes
it's
to show.
It's an ad.
It's an ad. And
it's
a, really...
a two-minute ad for county TV in the US. How much better is that than anything that Rihanna's ever done?
Way better. I mean, I like lo-fi music at the best of times, so I don't need any convincing. All I need is... It's mad.
What is that? Give us your musical expertise. What makes that sound?
I actually don't know. I think it's a sample. I think the guy who made helped him made it just got a thing that went dit, and this was like dick dick did. I think it's pretty basic to do. I don't really know though.
An urban vangelist.
I think that if we ever go on like some sort of overseas international pod adventure that we do, you know, like a like an international broadcasted pod, that we go there and buy a dinette, because I don't know what the hell a dinette is, but goddamn, I want one. I really want one.
I know. Yeah, I'm very glad that you were able to pick up on the word dinette. It shows how many times you've listened to this song. And I'm sure a million of the 10 million is probably you for the last 10 years, because you found it before Ellen did.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it just sums up your humor so well. If you've never met Miss Love before, here's a crash course in him. His brain is essentially to the left, to the right. That two-minute sums up 20 years of Miss Love's pondering.
A southern gentleman.
What a great philosopher.
A southern gentleman.
Expanding on Kant's work.
Yeah, I basically, you know, if there's any level of philosopher that I can sort of be inspired by, it's a southern gentleman with high pants and like a yellow suit, just a yellow suit going, let's make it a dance to the left, to the right, let's make this dance, come Montgomery, hey, hey.
So we do understand that you love it so much, but I don't really understand how you made this a segment. Why is this the first thing that we're talking about today again?
What did I write?
This is what Miss Love wrote. This is a very special pod, by the way. For the first time ever, Miss Love has put on his big boy pants and come up with more than one idea. In fact, he's come up with five. To the point that I've just put on the diaper now. There's always one baby in this relationship. And now, Miss Love, get your tits out. Let me suck on them.
All right.
So this is what you said.
Is that an allegory? Because I'll do it.
Okay, I wasn't expecting that. I was hoping that you'd say no. All right, so it's just, okay, you said, it's just like a legend. Should that guy be president? The Montgomery Free Markets guy.
I love how Trump has just made this. Everyone's on the table now. Yeah.
He's proven it. You can be president if you're an American. That's the bar now.
Yeah, well, that's what it should be, you know. Any man and woman.
What do you think he'd do? He'd make sure that in the education system, everybody knew what a credenza is.
I mean, I think he's the next logical choice. If that man, if the flea market...
Funk Trump.
If the flea market Montgomery's guy, he's a walking advertisement for, like, the free market, for capitalism. Yes,
but he makes sure that it's changed from free market to flea market.
Yeah, he starts...
All words are just replaced with dance moves.
Everyone's just grooving
free
the
free market dance. Do what you want. That's how we're going to teach you.
Just a weird mix of communism and libertarianism. Do what you want, but I'm not going to intervene. I love it. I love it so much. So basically, I mean, he's essentially a walking example of, like, you know, the free market. Bust your ass if it's not working, you know. Like, go outside the box a little bit and try to create a market for something that doesn't exist. In this case, just being a boss.
He's improved so much on MC Hammer.
Yeah, totally.
Which is what the free market is: standing on the giant shoulders of others. MC Hammer shouldn't have been talking about how awesome he is. He should have been talking about how sick secondhand beds are.
And it's a fact. Everyone knows it. I think that he would be... I mean, first of all, he'd be the perfect mix of, like, Obama and Trump, which would be that he would probably be...
He is.
Yeah.
He is the perfect centrist.
Yeah. He seems like the perfect center. He would obviously be very diplomatic and very understanding. He would be a lovely guy. He would definitely... You know he would get along with, like, the Japanese prime minister. But having said that, I think he'd be like, I'm for low regulation, low taxes, free market. Let the government sit back, but
I'm one of my beds. Let's have a nap.
But don't reduce the spending for the arts, for education, for roads. But the government won't intervene in healthcare. Hey.
If anyone's listening, please, if you can replicate that beat,
oh my god,
please send it in to us.
We'll record. I'll freelance rap.
Thank you on your second EP for Forest Hall. That's your commercial in. That's what the people want.
I'm not going to deny that. That can be a secret track, you know.
Please, somebody please be a producer. It must be a really easy beat to maneuver because...
It would be, I think. That guy
seems like he's just pressing one note in varying speeds. And if you can't do that, what kind of producer are you?
You know, I know for a fact that his nephew helped him record it because he was like, I want to be a bit crazy and write a rap. So my nephew, he's a rapper, and he helped me do it. How good is the image of him and his nephew in, like, probably his, like, nephew's mom's house just being like, he's like, tick, 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 dunk. And then he's just there in a suit just being like, hey, come chat.
He didn't have to be in a suit, but he is all business.
Absolutely. He's a gentleman. You know he's a gentleman, that guy. But damn.
Do you think he smells like
shoe polish?
You think he smells like shoe polish?
Because he puts...
Not a smell that people usually aspire to have.
No, because he puts so much on, because every day when he puts his boots on, he's going to work. I think he overshines them, you know what I mean? But yeah, he could. I think he just smelled like heavy cologne. But, you know, that's not a bad thing. I think that a lot of... a lot of people that are very high-spirited with a lot of ambition, you know, maybe overrepresent that in their cologne administration on their own body. But that's fine, you know, that's fine. But I think you know, the future, I mean, let's be honest, it's not going to happen. I don't know what this, I'm pretty sure this guy, it seems to be this problem with people that break out with some bowler beats. They get successful and then... they kind of didn't plan for anything else. So they really don't do anything else. Which I never understood, because you'd think that you would have time to reconvene your thoughts and like, maybe I can make another bowler rap, or like, I don't know, be industrious and, I don't know, slash prices on your dinettes or something. But I don't think he even did that. I think he just chilled out there and was like, you want to buy a cobra? I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so he's like one of those people that gets the second most valuable player in AFL when they're 12.
Mm.
And then they rest on that laurels for the rest of their life, going to pubs.
Yeah.
Still expect the same kind of treatment they got on the day that they almost won the grand final in under 12.
Yes, exactly.
Well, but each to their own.
I think we can both concede that he's a legend.
Yeah, man.
As the segment title said.
What a one-hit wonder. Well, that was a very interesting exploration into something that I'm sure everybody forgot existed if they even knew it existed in the first place, Mislav. Thank you for drawing that to our attention. Retrospective news with Mislav Bella Bradshaw. Such a great name to have for such an unimportant service. Dodgy Eastern European name.
You'll like this. Do you know I found it on the... I just got dial-up 3 years ago, and it's a great video.
I can guarantee you that has been number one on the Croatian charts for the last 3 years.
I found this really funny video. This man dancing in a suit, and it's talking about a mall and a girl who's singing about Friday. She's talking for next Friday, and there's a man who sings about chocolate rain. You can't be rain and chocolate. It's rain. It's two different things, eh?
But coming up next on Dalmatian FM is a breakthrough song. I think they're gonna go far. It's the Macarena.
All right, let's move on.
That's so
quick. On to more pressing matters.
Yes, yes.
Why did you ask me this?
Yep.
Haven't seen you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it is really nice to know how quickly you regress back into being a classic Tea Party member. And he says that while getting out the last droplets from a tea bag.
Oh! That's, the next dimension, man. Cosmic. That is cosmic. That's universal,
right,
dude.
When are you getting a Don't Tread On Me shirt?
When someone buys me one. I can't be arsed.
It's true. You are saving up for a deposit on a house at the moment. It's really good to know that your priorities are straight. However, I still think that the fact that I've just mentioned that means that you will be buying ones in medium, large, and extra large just in case you get fatter throughout your life.
Don't tread on me. What's the other one I wanted to get?
Yeah, always lie in the middle of the Lithgow main road with that shirt on.
Hey, I do still want... I mean, I'm rocking these, which are pretty... I've got some pretty like militaristic boots, but I really want some camo pants, and I'll definitely wear them everywhere.
Yep.
Become
a bunyip hunter as well. You've got the right hair, boots, and when you get those pants, you have the uniform.
What's a bunyip?
Wow.
Aren't they?
I'd be very... If anybody doesn't know what those are, can everybody just write in and go, bunyip, is that a New Zealand form of hot cross bun?
Yeah, I thought it was I thought a bunyip was like a yaoi.
Yeah.
Oh.
Bingo. Oh, well, okay. It's the closest thing to a yaoi in Australia, but it's more of a... It's probably a cross between a Loch Ness monster and a beaver.
Oh. So it's a mythological... animal. It's Australian.
Well, that's what you think.
Oh, so you just want me to venture around Lithgow Forest with a bloody one shooter rifle and just be like, mm-hmm. I seen him 2 days ago, and I'll be dying if I ain't gonna get him.
Yeah, and you do, yeah. You're out there, you snap something, you go, I got him, I finally got him. And it's a Tasmanian tiger, and you go, oh, hail, and let that go.
Wait, yeah, because they're gone. You know, they said that that one was spotted, apparently a Tasmanian tiger.
Where?
Tassie.
This is great because I do remember having this conversation with my previous co-host on the podcast.
Oh, really?
Who shall remain nameless. It's still so hard to find out who they are. All you have to do is look back 60 episodes from this.
He's still butthurt about them leaving, I think.
No, it's fine.
They've just severed that tie. I think they know that. Forever to hold your peace. Amen. Till death. I swear to God, if one of them die before, you'll just... Like, if you know, like... The funeral will be going on, and you'll walk up in like a long trench coat with like one of those, like, forget it, it's Chinatown hats and a cigarette, and it's raining, and you're like, and you just go,
ash on their grave.
No, you just go, and spit on it, and then walk away, and it's like,
so I needed the cigarette to be extra flimmy.
Yeah.
You're playing the sax, hopefully, in a sparkly hat and those camo plant pants.
what insane alternative universe. I mean, beautiful alternative universe would that be in?
I reckon we're living in that one. But you asked me this question. Why is the Keystone Pipeline a bad thing? /, this is who the co-host of the Friendly Geordies podcast is, a.k.a. the node of centre-left politics for 18 to 30 demo in Australia, ask this question. Why is fracking bad?
See, I need to explain this. What's happened is...
I love this. This is great because you know that if you're listening to the fucking BuzzFeed politics podcast or whatever, it'll just be a bunch of jack-offs sitting there going, oh my God, I can't believe that they said that the gay flag had to be taken down in the Blue Mountains. I mean, really? That would be 50% of the words on the BuzzFeed podcast. Really? and here, we have an Australian man who thinks that he's an American man because he's watched so much media asking why is fracking bad.
I'm just trying to fulfill the other spectrum here. You know, you guys have got enough of people that are really concerned about morals and feelings. And I'm trying to find out what the hell's so bad about water lighting on fire, all right?
Yes. All you're concerned about is three letters. J-O-B. And for those of you who can't spell, Job.
Has more letters than the actual dictionary word of it, doesn't it? J-A-W-B is how your people say job.
Just to clear it up, though, what tends to happen, especially if I, God, I hope I am friends with you forever, because if we fall out of touch, like, yeah, I'm just going to be like riding down Main Street with two Uzis just firing.
You definitely will, won't you? You're for sure going to form a Christian militia.
Yes.
But soldiers of God.
But what does happen is Jordan leaves, and after my long-winded, you know, 13-hour stints at work, I stay up at god awful hours of the night, and then into the morning, just watching, my boy, you know. And then, I don't think I even have to say it, you know. So, I ended up watching heaps of that. And, like, the social issues are so on point.
Oh, by the way, he's talking about Gavin McInnes. To any hipsters that are reading there, you probably know him from that Pedestrian article where he made fun of Waleed Ali and they go, Gavin McInnes didn't quite nail it. Ooh. You're in Pedestrian's bad books now. Site that is mostly just a classified for hipster jobs.
I care.
Gavin, do you care? Get off the mic.
Do you care heaps about Beyonce? That's probably enough to join. Anyway, so yeah, like.
So you're a massive fan of him.
No.
In all credit to him, I do think that he makes great social observations and is one of the funniest broadcasters on the planet.
So what happens is, he's on point with the social stuff. And then because I get so riled up, it just bleeds into the politics. Mm. And I have been brought to the, I guess, I'm not even going to say the bright side, but to a logical side, the side of real facts and, like, you know, realism by you in terms of the environment and in terms of the economically progressive side of things, which makes sense to me and makes complete sense. But then he'll bust out he'll be on such a roll and he'll bust something out with such fervor, good humor, and kind of like based in this sort of real, just this overall narrative of like freedom and just this sort of really actually quite progressive, like really funny way of looking at things that I have to throw them at you because I want to know the other perspective. Because you're kind of like my liberal Gavin McInnes. So like, and then he was on Fox and...
I thought he burned his bridges with them.
I think he might have now, but he was a regular. He was a regular contributor to Red Eye, the show Red Eye, and then he actually had his own segment.
That was his place. He should be the host of Red Eye, and it's a real shame that he's not. And they have that guy that used to be, I think, the editor of GQ magazine.
Well, I don't
how
know.
Does yeah, talking actually, about yeah, how to get was. Abs in 6 weeks qualify you for being funny?
I don't know, but. Yeah, he's been on a variety of shows. It's funny because you watch Gavin McInnes and he says that he thinks Fox isn't right wing. He thinks they're all liberals.
True.
He thinks they're all liberals.
I've heard him say this on numerous occasions.
Yeah, he thinks they're all pussies and liberals. Because they're for open borders and like, I don't know, this is what he says, all this kind of stuff. But anyway, he was on the show and he was being very, talking about like anarchy, small government, all this kind of stuff. And then he just busted out. They were talking about Saudi Arabia and how Bush was very chummy with him and how Clinton was extremely chummy. The Clintons were extremely chummy with the Saudis in regards to funding something. It was the Clinton Foundation. Yeah. And it was talking about that. And then Gavin was like, we get most of our... It's like, why do we need them? Why don't we just cut off the Saudis? Their human rights record is ridiculous. We make most of it. We get all our money from...
What do you mean, why do we need them?
Well, he said we get most of our oil from America, Canada, and Mexico. Why we can... We don't... It's not a necessity. And then
Gavin McInnes shouldn't talk about anything else except for how annoying are SJWs.
Do you reckon,
because,
though?
Yeah, the reason why you're so chummy with Saudi Arabia is if you're not,
yeah.
China or Russia gets chummy with Saudi Arabia. So you're trying to block them out from advancing their economies.
You're basically trying
to lock up world resources.
Right. That's why
America has to invest so much into keeping ridiculous relations with them to the point that their president will kiss their king on the lips. A neoconservative just bashing a Middle Eastern man while at war with the Middle East.
Okay, but then with the...
How confusing is being a world leader?
Very. But then, okay, in terms of the environment, because of he was going along with that, he just busted out the, let's get the Keystone Pipeline out and start fracking. And then, like, because of his delivery, and because it's kind of masked in these themes of, like, punk, anarchy, freedom, liberties, fraternity, it's hard to not be, it's infectious, you know what I mean? I don't get giddy when people are like, white people are the devil. All language has to be policed. Hate crimes, hate speech, ethnomasochism. That does make me be like, yeah, I'm going to kill myself. Yeah, like, I don't know who the hell that would inspire. Even if it has merits of points at which to discuss and
it doesn't inspire them. You go to any hipster party ever, the two things that you notice is, A, everyone there is miserable and scared. B,
scared.
Everyone has shitty couches.
And they're rolling, and they're smoking rolled up cigarettes. So
can't you afford tallies?
So because of that, any statement he throws out there, I'm like, yeah, America. So enlighten me. The Keystone and fracking in America.
First of all, the Keystone Pipeline has been described by most environmentalists as game over for the world if that goes ahead.
What? Really?
What these people don't understand, because they
game over conservative, for the world.
Conservative media in the US lives in its own bubble where it just lives in a fact-free environment at this point. So they make up their own facts, and then it just gets echo chambered around this massive echo chamber that includes probably 100 million Americans, 150 million Americans. And so they've just convinced themselves that climate change isn't happening.
Mm.
The facts of the matter are they're full of shit, and the reason why they believe that is because all of their funding is basically pumped in by the Koch brothers that have created this massive echo chamber, so they have this ready-to-go voter base that will vote for extremist parties.
But you have to admit, I don't want to sound like go down the Alex Jones thing, but it's a fact that Soros is doing the same thing in a social level.
Absolutely not the same.
He's funded, I think it was billions into...
George Soros is...
There's social initiatives. I'm not talking about... Obviously, the environmental initiatives are far more... Well, they're more damaging. Yes, they are more damaging because ideas are just ideas and the environment is the environment. But that's an example of someone manipulating... I mean, I'm saying there's two sides of it. I'm not justifying it, but I just want to mention.
Yeah, but it's not even comparable because.
Well, it's kind of.
Okay. The Koch brothers are funding an extremist party. If you listen to most conservative writers that are respected within the academic world, and they talk about the Republican Party, even they say at this point, and they've been saying it for the last 20 years, the Republican Party is not a mainstream parliamentary party anymore.
I know, I've heard this.
It hasn't been.
I've heard this, yeah.
For 20 years. For 20 years, it is an extremist party. It's basically the same as having... It's kind of just like a Christian democratic version of Hamas and they're in power half the time.
Wait a second.
They're insane.
But you could say the same for the social left, man. Like, people chucking on... Burkas and
you
saying,
cannot
I'm
say that the Democrats are an extremist party. The Democrats are the most centrist party there is. They basically are just a referee for the establishment. Is more or less what Democrats are. They might excite their base by talking about, you know, like oppression, Latinos, so unfair, yeah, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they're not insane enough to approve the Keystone Pipeline, because if there's 1,000 scientists that come to them and say that if you put this in, that increases...
Is it in Alaska? Or no, it was in northern... It was somewhere up, one of the states up north, like Minnesota or some shit, right?
Mm.
And what would the implications be that that digging up another an oil refinery is just going to be cataclysmic? I thought the main... not the main, but I thought like 30% of the world's global warming was attributed to like the agricultural industry.
Yeah, it is.
30%.
Mm.
Or is it more?
It could be 50%.
50.
There's different estimations about it, but the general one is that it's about 50%.
So shouldn't we be prioritizing here as a people?
But what are you going to do about agriculture? The thing is, if you open up the Keystone Pipeline, which
it's
is
not
a
helping.
Very simple decision, yes or no.
Mm.
That's something that you can work on. Revolutionizing the agricultural industry is something that's going to take the better half of this century.
Mm.
This is just a quick stroke of a pen decision. And this is a quick stroke of a pen decision that will kilter the planet over to dangerous climate change if it's approved and if it goes ahead for the period of time that they're anticipating it to go ahead. And it depends if a Democrat gets into the White House in 2020. They probably could stop it even now. There's a lot of things that are at play here, but the point is that it's also just another symbol for how the Republican Party is essentially doing the work of destroying the planet. Like they are a supervillain.
What about do you agree with some of their social issues, or do you think it's almost irrelevant because you're looking at the bigger fish kind of thing?
Well, this is my thing that I mean, I love chatting with you about social issues and how ridiculous the left has become. And it is not the left. It is the face that the corporate left likes to put out to the general public to go, look at how crazy and insane these people are that saying that I don't know. You know, they're constant crap that they're constantly peddling in the media, and you sit there and you're just like, I am not with these people at all. And I do as well, right?
But that's not,
I can't stand the left, the left that I see perpetuated in the media. But then when I go to trade union meetings or when I go to the Labour Party, I see that they're not insane like these people are. They're extremely intelligent people.
But there are
that
examples
are focused on income inequality and the environment.
But there were examples where even the Obama government, I think, pushed social agendas that weren't necessarily something that should have been...
Yeah, but that's not the same as approving the Keystone Pipeline. This is what I'm saying. Get your priorities right.
That's what I'm saying. So you're saying the priorities... Yeah. No, I'm just trying to clear that up. I think it'd be naive to be like, you're looking at the bigger fish, but I think maybe on social issues and stuff like migration and stuff, maybe the Republicans might be onto some things.
Well, when it comes to migration...
Immigration, whatever, yeah.
There's
yeah.
not really any evidence to support their point. Most evidence points towards the fact that if migration was stopped and America had stopped cheap influx of Mexicans, it would be a massive cost to their economy. It's basically what the Liberals are constantly trying to do here. It's very weird that the Conservative parties are sort of reversed on this when it comes to the US and Australia.
Mm.
And I think it's mostly just token symbols of, you know, building a wall, for example. Really, they understand the economic implications of not having that cheap labor pumping a really cheap stream of workers into the economy there. Because if you get rid of them... for instance, construction, agriculture, all these grunt work industries that the average American is too rich to even want to do.
But that's not really true. There's a huge working class in America that are still busting their asses in factories, man. There's people that are...
They're
there's unemployment.
They're not, it's not. It's different work. The work that
really?
Most migrants are doing is really dangerous or really scummy work.
What about the stats on migrants and welfare? Apparently, it's like... They're high in America.
And maybe it is.
Yeah.
But that's the price that you have to pay for cheap labor. I can guarantee you that they're putting more into the economy as a collective group.
That's an interesting
than they
point.
Are taking out from welfare.
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
That is
it's,
an interesting
it's just,
point.
Again, it's one of these boogeymen that the conservatives like to prop up to basically distract people from the fact that their environmental and economic policies are insane. For instance, the Trump government just announced that they're going to cut corporate tax from 45%, I think it is in the US, to 15%.
The old trickle-down, eh?
This is insane trickle-down economics, especially for a developed economy. I mean, the reason why other economies have a corporate tax that's 2% is because they're trying to attract all of these bad companies to go there and set up factories and whatnot.
Is that not what he's arguing? He's like, if I cut the tax, then more...
Yeah, that's fine. But the thing is that you cannot cut corporate tax down to 2%.
Hmm.
The American government can't sustain that level of taxation triple again. They're not going to be able to do it. So essentially what they've done is just given companies there a massive tax break for no reason whatsoever. It is not going to attract companies back that are paying 0% tax.
Yeah,
why
right.
would they start paying 15% tax? It makes zero sense.
Yeah.
It is just a reason for them to go back to their base and say, look, we're good little doggies. We've played ball with you. Fund our next election campaign.
Really?
Of course it is.
And they'll spout... you know, overspending by the government and regulation and all this sort of stuff. But I mean...
The same stuff they always do. But the thing is that they completely inverse what the enemy is here. The enemy is not government. The enemy in a Western democracy is never government. As what we were talking about
beforehand. We were talking about this before, yeah.
Governments
throughout
all of history have initiated the massive infrastructure projects that the private sector would never pay for. If they did pay for them, they'd charge the people so much that they wouldn't even be worth the average person's time for them to be built. So, for instance, a great example of that is WestConnex in Australia, right?
Mm.
If the government was building WestConnex, I can guarantee you, they are building WestConnex, by the way, but I can guarantee... But
they're not.
They weren't doing it in conjunction with...
No, they're not funding it. They've been... Well, I don't know how it's working. They've paid a company to build it.
With Transurban. They're doing it in conjunction with Transurban.
Yep.
I can guarantee you it wouldn't be costing $30 billion. I can guarantee you at the end of it, they'd be taking all of the revenue instead of just seeding out your tax dollars to a private company. which is insane, because a private company will just put that money into their shareholders' stock prices, whereas the government would put that into schools.
We might as well.
Which you prefer your money going to?
We might as well tie this into the closing segment, because it's kind of the same thing. We might as well just riff on it now, and then we can tick that off. Because
move to the segment that I think we're all most excited to. So just a quick little snippet of that.
Okay.
What's better, Megadeth or Koshi? Miss Love decides. In reference, Megadeth, the heavy metal band that was big, I think, in the 80s.
Yes.
With Koshi, who I think was never big, but is still on television.
Was never big. God, should we move on to that? Should we just move on to that?
No, we'll go back to that in a second. Okay. Let's go through this discussion.
Yeah,
now.
We might as well. The question that I put to Jordan was, is big government... So no, I was like, what was it? Small government, a hindrance or a help? And then I kind of came to this point where I'm like... I kind of came to this point where I was like, libertarianism in a way is the same as in theory.
For everybody who doesn't know what libertarianism is, just a quick definition of it. It's basically you have no government.
It's the free market.
Most libertarians don't even want there to be a publicly funded military. They'll go that far. They don't want any tax dollars going to anything.
It's pretty much anarchy.
The best way that they described it, I think it was in Parks and Recreation, is they want the president to be one man who has access codes to nukes. And that's it.
Yeah, no real power. And then I was thinking about it, and the extreme libertarianism and communism are sort of the same thing in my... Well, I mean, they're opposites, but in being opposites, they're the same. It's like...
What?
I mean they're both... I'm saying
when black and white merge, it creates grey. Well, thank you very much for your colour bonding, Miss Love. You'd be an excellent Dulux paint salesman.
Get a third tin, you get a thing of bloody jelly beans. I think that...
So good. Your business card is that. Paint blender and political philosopher.
Libertarianism doesn't work. It works in theory. It doesn't work. Communism's the same. And it's true. That's what I think. And then Jordan, we were talking about... Jordan was explaining to me that small government... big government, or, you know, let's say a government with more reach, will have less... chance to be corrupt than big business. But then I was chucking out like Mao and all these, you know, all these rulers that essentially became a fascist governments under communism.
What you're forgetting is that communism, there's all these people that say now that cultural Marxism, that might be a thing, but the main thesis of it was economic. So any ruler out there that goes, he killed 60 million people and he was a communist, yeah, I guess economically he was, but in terms of political power, he was a totalitarian ruler. He was a dictator.
Yeah, but it's too easy. I mean, you can't look at all these examples of like communist leaders throughout history that have carried out genocides and just not connect them.
Why not?
Because you can't. It's naive. Like, there is obviously... a connection. I mean, I'm not saying it's an intrinsic connection, and power does corrupt, and obviously, you know, their fascism overruled their whatever the hell they might have originally thought. I think there is something connected. But my question is kind of like, you know, an example of... There's so many examples where communism has failed, and then like an example of like the difference between something like America and a communist Yugoslavia. I'm trying to find a middle ground that's reasonable, because I know
Norway.
Yeah.
What every hipster always uses. And good on them for discovering that.
Well,
it must have just come from one article in Slate. And that's all you need.
Well, what
if Slate says it's true?
Well, what I mean, that's basically my theory now is, for my own political beliefs, is socially conservative, economically, politically progressive.
It's great. You are a 1950s Republican.
Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. And every time you talk
and
about...
I love those guys.
Every time you talk about Calvin Coolidge, he's libertarian, right? But everyone who talks about Norway...
No, who you'd like is Ike Eisenhower.
I like his name.
I do like Ike.
But like that sort of... I get to a point where I'm like, Jordan's like, read about it, man. And I do. And the only the only pundits that seem to come against it are people that are like, believe me, it's not as competitive. You wouldn't have iPods. But I just kind of, I'm like, I don't really know if that's true.
Well, let's go through the iPod argument, which we have off air. Yes. But I'm just to divulge this to everybody.
Yes.
Your iPod would not exist without the US military. And the US military gets its funding from taxpayer dollars, meaning the government created your iPod. They created, I think, 90%. It could be 80%. Not exactly sure what the percentage is, but the vast majority of the technology that is in an iPod was developed by the US military that then pawned off that technology to Apple and all its competitors for free. The taxpayer did not see a return for that. And then the taxpayer got charged more to buy the iPod from Steve Jobs, despite the fact that he paid for none of the investment into the research of that. And that's the thing, is what every private enterprise wants to outsource as much of the production process as possible. Ideally, all of them just want to be a marketing institution. They just want to be able to sell a product. That's it. They don't want to pay for the creation of it. It's essentially that Chicken Little story of who's going to help me grind the pie? There's a thing that you could understand, Miss Love. In 5-year-old terms, the US government is the chicken in that story.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I'm glad that you could explain it in terms that I understand. I mean, I'm the crazy one here.
Why?
That sounds very conspiracy-esque, but I'm going to look into it.
It's on record. Look up the document.
Is there
to
a,
quote
there,
Alex Jones.
Would there be any...
I bet you Alex Jones would agree with that.
He probably would. Alex Jones is on point with a lot of stuff. I mean, he was pissed off that Trump bombed Assad. He was like, Assad is not behind this. I mean, at least he sticks to his guns in terms of non-interventionist, anti-war ideas. Like, he's not just like blanketly going with Trump with whatever he says. Mm. Is there any chance if I just email Gavin McInnes and just say, can you just come to Lithgow and be on our pod? Because I would love to hear a debate between you two. And like, because I know what it would come down to. It would come down to just pure stats. And let's be honest.
I don't think so. I think it would come down to him pulling his scrotum out through the zip of his pants.
Suck my balls.
And dangling it in front of
him. Suck my balls. No, no, dude. He's not. He's not. He definitely could do that, but he's not like.
He could.
He likes. He. You know what his whole thing is, dude? His whole thing is politics is number crunching. It's essentially it should be a boring job. It's for people with like autism. It's not a PR campaign. And if you're not interested in the facts, don't get involved. How could he willingly be avoiding facts? It doesn't make sense. He'd be pulled up on it. He does so many podcasts and so many interviews, and he has been criticized a lot.
Okay, well,
maybe it's alternative facts. Maybe, but I don't know. I really don't know. I would love to see you two.
Everybody thinks that the facts are on their side. Facts have become the
they're like subjective now, aren't they? They're basically subjective,
right? It's kind of the same with the Middle
very
Ages.
Very scary. It's very scary.
The Crusades of God is on my side. Facts have replaced God. But the thing is that what he uses, for example, I remember him arguing with some woman, I can't remember her name, and they were talking about Norway, and he was admitting that Norway is a better society than the US is, but he was saying the reason why it's better society is because it's white.
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
But that is a ridiculous conclusion.
No, 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 he didn't say that. He was saying she was playing the race card, saying white people have created all this oppression and we would be better with a multicultural society, and he was just throwing it back on her, being like, What society like Norway? And he's like, yeah, it's like the Europe.
No, they were talking about the economics of Norway. They were talking about the quality of living. They could have mentioned Norway in two separate parts, and that's probably what happened.
Yeah, yeah,
it was a long interview. I listened to the highlights of him owning an FKW.
Yeah, yeah, FKWs. No, I watched that whole one with the girl. And to be fair, that wasn't a fair fight, because that chick was someone he found on the street, and she was not educated. She was she was the most like indoctrinated by propaganda, like leftist propaganda anyone could be. So she had no way to the way to discuss the issues, because she had no leverage, no perspective. So that was like that. Like, he can say he owned her. It's like, dude, that's not amazing.
Whatever. The point is, someone funny owning idiots is the best YouTube there is, apart from Montgomery's flea market, who is clearly a genius.
I guess the conversation goes on, but it's like, you know, the more I think about it in terms of America, the more I'm on Obama's side politically, because he was such a centrist. But then when he would come out with stuff like justifying Islam, like extreme Islamists, by going, well, remember the Crusades, and like weird stuff like introducing, like,
but again, that's because Obama
is a centrist.
More or less, he was quite a multi-talented man. Mm. I mean, to have that level of charisma, but also to have that sober a mind, you don't find that often.
But I mean,
the thing was, he's just a very boring man, and he uses stuff like that to deflect interviews. What Obama does when he doesn't want to talk about something is he becomes very boring and monotonous and says the safest thing possible. Basically,
that's
to just get
safe.
That off the table.
Is that safe, saying remember? That's like pretty dumb.
It's just a mainstream talking point.
Right. I mean, and
it satisfies his base, but
yeah,
he's obviously not interested in discussing these matters.
Yeah, well,
he's
I respect
bean
that.
Counter.
I respect that, and bean counters are what politics is supposed to be about. But I mean, there were certain, and I mean, even how I even can see how, you know, I think he forced, he essentially said, we'll cut your funding for legislation for some. It was like Missouri, down in Missouri or something, for if they didn't introduce same-sex bathrooms, they would have their funding cut. And like, I think that's pretty fucked, but it is, in a way, it is quite centrist, because it is if it's the way that the tide is turning, I don't know how many concessions can be granted. But I mean, social issues aside, I think politically, like, to be in that realm is a good thing. And like, he seems to have been living in that world, in that area.
This is what everybody doesn't understand. Everybody, look, obviously you can criticize every U.S. president.
Except Calvin Coolidge. Or Eisenhower.
Because he came up with one boss quote that Miss Love reads to himself every day, and despite that, cannot remember, I think, 90% of it.
I drink a lot of coffee. Yeah, continue though. Pardon me.
You can denigrate every American president. You're going to denigrate everybody
Everyone.
In power. But the point is, you're not in that seat, so shut up. to a large degree, I feel this way now. I mean, I completely disagree with one side of politics, but anyone who sits there and goes, fuck both of them, they're both fucked. You are a cancer. You are an absolute cancer on this society.
I mean,
you are doing nothing with your life except for maybe learning how to play Stairway to Heaven. That if I was a music teacher, I would grant them a C-.
Or that song that goes, boom, 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 boom. Every time you drop the bomb, System of a Down. Like, weirdly political, but really mainstream. Like, it's ultra-capitalist political music. Yeah,
true.
I mean,
it's something that somebody in the western suburbs who votes Labour would like.
If you're a complete anarchist, you're an idiot, because it's just fucking stupid. At least respect that you have the balls to do that, but also don't fucking live in our society then.
Yes, thank you. Exactly, it's the same thing. It's like how everybody goes there and says, fuck Obama. Well, what's the alternative?
But in the same respect, fuck those guys that go at the Antifa, that go, fuck Trump, fuck, you know, we want complete regulation.
Because these are those morons that sit. Yeah, I know,
yeah,
exactly.
They shit me too. I mean, like, that I was telling Jordan, they found this school teacher who was the teacher of morals and ethics, who 4chan scoped out, because they're all freaking autistic nerds and champions. This guy smacked a random guy in the head with a bike lock and like fractured his fucking skull, basically, and he got like charged because they found it out. It's like, come on. Like, I mean, there's
weaponized autism.
The world is getting so much, each political party is getting so fragmented now that it's frustrating, and I tend to side with the right because the left ones piss me off so much. They're such ethnomasochists. If you're such an ethnomasochist, jump off a bridge.
Yes, true.
But anyway.
But that's American politics, though, Miss Love. What you need to remember is, in Australia, it's completely different. Most ethnomasochists in Australia kind of gravitate towards minor parties here.
Like the what is it? The What are those things called? The bloody parking meter party. The fishing party. The rifle party. I love those parties. I vote for the weed party almost every time because I'm just...
I know. Again, this is
that's
what I
kind
was
of
just
a dick
saying,
move. That's a dick
exactly.
move. It's a dick
thank
move.
You.
Yeah, it's a dick move. But I was very frustrated at that point. Anyways, that's the answer.
A different time.
That's the answer. That's the answer. That's the meaning to life. So there it is. Sort of.
And also on top of that, you'll definitely be voting for the weed party in the next election.
No, I won't. I won't. I won't. I promise you, I won't. I think.
Who will you vote for in the next election?
I think I can overlook my I'm sorry, you're just gonna hate me, but I think I can overlook my intrinsically, like it's in my fiber. My fibrous fear of unions and dole bludgers to just vote for Labour. Because WestConnex sucks. Or WestConnex, I had a fight with my mum about it. She wasn't...
What has she got to say on the matter?
She agreed. She's on your side. She's just... We weren't fighting about it. We were just discussing, really, about the pros and cons.
I can imagine that every argument with you is just her playing an accordion really loudly. You know that song while you're sitting there going, but WestConnex, and she's sitting there going,
oh, God. Well, you're paying your own culture out there, too. So, no, but basically, I came to this conclusion that was like, even if it is just irrational fear, the crappiness of WestConnex, which is going to be charging me now to drive to Sydney back to Lithgow every week for nothing, that. Is now equally shit to me as the idea of corrupt unions if they're real and dole bludgers. So now they're just as bad as each other. Plus the environmental side, I'm not a big fan of either. So Labour are creeping up.
Okay, and
they're
what
creeping
about this?
Up.
This, this should be enough for them to never gain power again.
Yeah.
The fact that they're privatising all the disability services in New South Wales, meaning they're generating, on purpose, hundreds of thousands of homeless disabled people just so that they can hand out those houses that the state used to own and all the carers to private companies like Bupa and Serco to get all of that infrastructure for free. And if disabled people can't afford private health care, what happens to them?
Wow.
Parents can't look after them. These are really specific special needs people.
Is their only argument for that to be like... It's like the market, more business. Is that the?
Yeah, it'll make prices more competitive. More competitive than free.
That's where I fell off with Trump too. The healthcare thing. I think was, it's like, dude. Like it's like this healthcare is it's complicated business. It's like, yeah, but dude, like. People were still...
Complicated. You're just gutting legislation.
People were still better off getting... At least they're on. To be fair, I'm pretty sure Obama did not get that many people on. I think it was 7 million or something out of the whole population.
It was 20 million, but 20 million
is it
people 20? More. Yes.
Okay, it was 20. I didn't know that. It's still...
That didn't have insurance
before. It's still amazing. It's still amazing. And anyway, so yeah, basically... yeah, dude... The weed party might have to get a back seat. We'll see.
Number two preference. Now, what we've all been waiting for.
Oh my God, leave it. I don't want to watch this. This isn't Megadeth.
Oh, this is Duran Duran.
Oh.
I don't know when they made this song either. It seems like it's fairly modern, but I remember that obviously because it is Sunrise... Every second ad break, they'd come back into that of Nat looking extremely pissed off with Koshy drumming it.
I hate that with his little pen, his little accountant pen.
I know.
I have such
a pet peeve, isn't it? Anybody that taps along to songs.
I'm sorry
to sound like one of those, like, quote unquote, controversial people that's on ABC Breakfast TV, but seriously, just I hope someone cuts your hands off.
I hate accountants, not for what they do, but for what their work has made them become. Accountants are a personality, and nothing against the industry or what they're actually doing, but they're all the guys who's just like pretty happy, super safe, like personally conservative personality, like pretty out. Like when someone says something slightly out, goes, ridiculous, unbelievable, and just play air drums.
Coming up on the hour. Yeah. Okay, so.
Oh, God.
Coming up on this hour, Megadeth or Koshy, which one's better?
Why are you playing Duran Duran? So we came
to
this
because that was the intro to Sunrise.
Oh, so you were just actually... Oh, okay, that's very cool. That's very cool.
So I don't know how this came about. I was asking Miss Love, what's a better band? Is it Megadeth Metallica. Or Metallica?
Where did that come from?
Well, I was reading a book recently where it said that...
What, the history of rock? What were you reading?
It's actually called The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Oh, man.
I don't particularly recommend this book. It's got a couple of nice examples in it, and that was one of them, which is that the lead singer of Megadeth was originally kicked out.
Yeah, yeah, of Metallica. Dave Mustaine.
Dave Mustaine.
Yeah, yeah.
So he vowed that he was going to make a far better heavy metal band.
He was extremely bitter, furious. He became an alcoholic, and he, I'm going to make a better band.
I'm pretty sure that if you see a modern day picture of him, it's just a lemon at Coles.
No, he is Ron Weasley grown up with alcohol abuse. That's what he is. What else did the book say?
Okay, so essentially what it was saying is that he just set a ridiculous standard for himself because it's all about standards in life and what your measure of success is. So his measure of success is if he wasn't bigger than Metallica, he was a failure.
Oh, my God.
How many albums have they sold? 150 million? Metallica.
Yeah, easily. Yeah, I think so.
And so Megadeth has sold 25 million. And he is in constant agony about this. He is...
Get this. This is the best thing, right? This is the best thing about Dave Mustaine. And I don't know what this is an example of. Because I've been watching Gavin, I just want to always say the free market, but it's probably not. It's just persistence and working. Only Dave Mustaine could, at this point in his career, have sold that much. He's in a mainstream, extremely successful band that has allowed him to be financially self-sustaining and have a huge fan base, and he's so unhappy and disappointed because he's not as big as Metallica. Such an 80s thing too. Everyone was making so much money on Wall Street and doing cocaine and the Sunset Strip and hair metal. Like it's such a 1980s situation to make, to sell 30 million albums and make an extremely a huge amount of money being a successful band and be like, it's a real bummer, man. It's real.
You know that? He was saying that in an interview. Man, every single day.
And he does talk like
my
that.
Last tour.
He literally talks like that. He's like, you should get one up actually now. Right? Dave Mustaine interview and you'll just laugh for 20 minutes. He's just like, I have to tell you that it's really bullshit, man. Bullshit.
And what's great about it is that I was asking Miss Love about this, which is a better band, Megadeth or Metallica, and his response was Metallica because they're not as, quote, gay.
Can you
please explain to me why... And we're talking about the primary school use of the word gay here.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if it can be said anymore, but like, I'm from the bloody... from the North Shore. Grew up in the 2000s. It wasn't like used in that way.
I reckon you should definitely bring it back. It's a great way to describe lame.
Well, that's... I think there's an esoteric way to describe that specific question. That works pretty well for it. I mean...
And why is this? Why is it?
Why are Megadeth worse?
Why are they lamer than Metallica?
Everyone would have a different opinion. It's essentially like a philosophical question, but
I don't think it is because I was talking to my editor, who's a massive metalhead.
Oh, really?
And he was saying it's really hard for me to pick, man. You're really putting me in a rock and a hard place here. Well, but I'm going to say Metallica.
I love that your editor's a metalhead. I mean, I'm being a little bit of a poser here because I'm not really a metalhead anymore. I used to be. But from my opinion, I would say that Megadeth... it depends what you... Like, Iron Maiden, I think, are just as gay or lame or whatever you want to call it because Megadeth are like... Iron Maiden are like... Okay... They're essentially full-grown men with, like, long hair and spandex, like, playing really intense metal to a whole bunch of other guys singing about, like, astro plane travel. Like, it's a bit weird. But it's just that, in my opinion, punk is way more realist. It's got more scope. It's more original because it fuses more. It's cheaper to make. It's cheaper to experience. It's more visceral. It's a little. I just think punk is a better genre. I love punk music. I love it.
Okay, so we're really.
I'm drawing it back. I'm drawing it back. I'm drawing it back. I'm drawing it back.
Thank you.
So, metal, in my opinion, is a little. It's just lamer. They're singing about like devils and stuff, but then like if they break a string, they're like, stop the song. Stop the song. Okay, I'm doing it again. We're doing it again. And it just doesn't fuse well with me. So Megadeth and like Iron Maiden go down more that route of like flying V, like big fake monsters on stage going as they're playing and being like and like 10-minute songs of like the astral plane flows down. I've been so insane in space. Whereas Metallica, and that's cool if people like that. I'm not having a go at them. Like what you like. There's no right or wrong with music. There really isn't.
You did not say that off air.
Really? Well, I do. Well, I'm biased. Whatever. I mean, if so, dude, put it this way: give me an Iron Maiden fan over a, I don't know, Beyonce fan any day. I guarantee you they'll be way, more exciting. Way more exciting. And also, leather jackets, no matter what, get a pass. You know, they're always cool. But yeah, Metallica have a bit more of that punkness. Like their first album's called Kill 'Em All, and it's really fast and like ride. It's more punky. It's more like aggressive and a bit more like hardcore. So that's why I think they're better.
Right. Now, let's move on because we've got to get out of the studio.
Oh, God.
This whole... Of course, this revolves entirely around his opinion.
How... Wait, we got... Okay, yeah.
Here we go. Yep. We've really got to get out of here. Okay. Tim's giving us the time signal.
The time. We actually have like a producer now. It's cool.
Megadeth or Koshy? Which one's cooler?
Jesus, that's tough. Man, I'm sorry. Megadeth.
There you have it. There you have it. The entire point of this podcast summarized in the last sentence by a word. Sorry to put you through an hour of chat to get to that. We now know, according to Miss Love, that Megadeth is cooler than David Koch. Who'd have thought?
That's what we do. Right. Just truth nuggets.
And just because we kind of came to the conclusion this year that Cursor really is the sickest... We'll play out on Cursor's Who Are You?
Yeah, let's play him out. Thanks, guys. Get hit, I pull it out and crunch that shit. You think I came this far to fucking have a regret? I hit the jackpot and I ain't been happier yet. No swag like Curse, tell them get they own. I could make a banger out of fucking metronome. I could get a bitch keen if she look in my eye. I could have her legs up with a foot in the sky. There ain't none like me, self-made for real. ABK Records, who you think made the deal? I'm made of steel, these rappers ain't shit. I tell Tracy Grimshaw to have another fit. Never gave a fuck, it's the way of the curse. If websites ring, tell and pay me up first. Smoking on a big blunt, still the same sick cunt. Five cars in a row, who was talking shit, bruh? No reply, I'ma focus on my money, man. Which hurts you, so I kinda got the upper hand. Entourage, roll deep, you talking one out. We can come to your town and get you run out. My fan base know to go when I do this. Fuck it, I'ma rock a watch on two wrists. Too fresh for the scene, I'm a straight kill. Let me take a second, I'm about to pop my eighth pill. Never fall, I'ma stand in the same spot. Blame Curse, are they ever gonna blame Scott? In a room and it moves, yeah, my head spins. Aussie hip-hop, I gotta be the best thing. Know the name, know the crew, know that we are. Fuck a famous, know the curse with the ER. Making moves every week, see I'm too smart. Hey, I'm Curse now, who the fuck are you, bruh? Remember that.